All right, we're going to do a part two of Taste and See, found in Psalms chapter 34. That's a psalm that David wrote, and it was something that if we really understand what many of the psalms were about, you can kind of maybe relate them to our life, and that's what I want us to try to do right now. I want us to try to think about what would we do if we was in David's sandals? You know what I mean? He didn't wear shoes, right? Yeah, come on. Wear sandals anyway. All right. See, life choices to me are a little different when we have people depending on us. It's one thing if we fail ourselves, but it's another thing or more serious when we fail others. Now, we know that David was on the run from Saul, right? Saul was the king. He got jealous of David. David would kill, Saul would kill his thousands, David his 10,000s. People were just pumping David up, and Saul felt threatened. So Saul started to chase after David. And, he was on the run when he had written many of these psalms. And what had happened here, that along the way, that 400 men and their families joined with David being on the run. Now, David had a small army that he's responsible for. And he had to feed this army. He had to protect this army. And, he was on the run for several years before things kind of got turned around and he was able to become king. Now, a little bit about this is in 1 Samuel 22, it says that after David left the king of Gath, that his father, mother, and his brothers joined with him, and these 400 people joined with him, as well as their families. And all these people, had something going on, this 400 people. They were either in debt, they were in distress, or they were discontented, with Saul. So here, just think about that. All these people that joined with you is all these people that had a bad attitude. You know what I mean? They had some sort of a bad attitude. Something wasn't going good in their life. And now all of a sudden, I'm sure David was happy because now he has a small army, so he don't feel like he's by himself anymore. But he was responsible for all these people. And we need to learn some things, what David did, because these people that joined with him, didn't really fit in anywhere else. And one time in their life, they were even going to stone David and put him to death. See, they made their living, off of going out and pillaging Philistines, okay? And when they were out pillaging one day, lo and behold, some people came and pillaged their village. And then their families and all their stuff got hauled away. And so these people were going to stone David, put him to death. I mean, that's a tough crowd, isn't it? Those are the people that David had to care for. So, it's some things that we're going to see just, why you and I need to learn how to operate and flow in the things of God. Because as we grow in Christ and as we do things in our life, I believe God's going to elevate us and promote us in the kingdom of God. And with promotion comes responsibility, right? It's easy just to maybe fend for yourself. When you're single, how many knows it's all right? You're lonely maybe, but you can just take care of yourself. But then all of a sudden you get married and you start to have a family and responsibilities change. All this stuff comes up. So now, you really have to up your game a little bit. And I believe we need to do that when it comes to the things of God. So we're going to kick off here reading Psalms 34, verse 8. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, we take authority over any distraction, any disturbance, anything that tries to rob the word out of our hearts. Lord God, I thank you just for stirring up the gift inside of me. Lord, I want to use it for your glory. Lord, we want to live a life that glorifies you. That, Lord, we want to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you that we sometimes feel like a remnant, that there's just a few of us, Lord. But Lord, we really know that we're a mighty army because the greater one lives inside of us. Again, we bind the devil from stealing the word out of our heart. And Lord, we just want the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last week we looked at the first seven verses, hypothetically up to verse 8. Now we're going to look at most of the rest of them, except for the last one, because it was a little redundant on some other information. So first we see, to re-initiate what we were looking at last week, you know, is to taste and see. Taste and see. You know, we need to explore the things of God. It's not just going to happen unless we do it. It's up to us to choose to want to learn some things and learn how God does things. Now, hypothetically, you know, we don't have to do this. Hypothetically, you could just get saved and then attend church and just kind of go along with the flow. And as long as you don't mess up, yeah, you're going to make it to heaven. You know what I'm saying? As long as you don't deny Jesus Christ or do something radical, you'll be all right. But why live a mediocre life? You know what I'm saying? Why lead a life that is just boring and not really seeing God move in your life? And you read about things happening in the Bible, but they're not really happening for us. So why live like that? When we know that we can tap into this, but it just takes a small transition, a little bit of tweak in the way we look at things, the way we want to try to do things. We want to try to explore and experience the things of God. So that's what we need to do, explore. See, when we become a Christian, this is what usually happens. When we become a Christian, we usually just add God to our box, okay? But in reality, we can't put God in a box. And if God does have a box, we need to throw our box away and jump in God's box. Amen? Because what happens is we have our box. Some people are very organized and meticulous in everything that they do, and they like things just like this, and you know, it can't be like that. It's got to be like this. You know, and then we get into God, and then they just kind of bring God in along for the ride in what they're doing. But see, God's not along for the ride. God is the ride. Amen? Once we get to that point in our life, once we see the fact of, you know, allowing God, who should be our greatest treasure in our life. You know, a lot of people seek after treasure, but see, God is our treasure. And once we start to get into the flow and we understand how he does things, then our life has changed. And I just want to say this, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but you know, starting out, there'll be some trial and error in your walk with God. I mean, when we're born again, we're a baby, you know. Sometimes we're a big baby, ain't we? And, you know, and we got to learn how to do things, how God does things. And it's okay. You know, we may miss it. See, it's okay to miss the center of God's will as long as we're trying to hit the center of God's will. God knows we're going to miss it. He knows we're going to miss it. But we should always be going for the center of God's will for our life. Once you're born again, we're not really our own. We're bought with a price. And the Bible says, therefore, glorify God with your body. That means, you know, we need to make our body do and go with the flow of God. Now, in this effort of what you and I experience, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to say it wrong. We're going to do it wrong. Don't beat yourself up over that. Right. But we want to be a learner, right? At least that's what I want to do. I'm still learning. You know, I've been following Jesus for over 30 years, but I'm still learning. There's things that I don't know yet, but I'm willing to try. I'm willing to follow God. I want to hear the voice of the Spirit. I want to have him speak to me and lead me and guide me. And in my greatest pursuit sometimes, I may miss it. But see, that's okay. I'm still trying to find God. I'm still going after God. I'm heading the right direction. Sometimes I might take a little bit of a detour or something, or I might be in the ditch. But you know, I spent a lot of my life in the early life in the ditch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I never did make it home perfect every time, you know. But, you know, I always want to be back on the road. And so I encourage you, don't be afraid to try this, you know. And, you know, we're gonna try to, explore things here this fall. We're going to look at, you know, the gifts that God's given you, the place that God's put it, the gifts that God's put inside of you. And you want to explore those things. You want to try to develop those gifts. And so that God can get all the glory. See, it's like a child learning how to walk. I mean, if you were a little baby and you learned how to walk and you fell down, you said, I'm not going to do this again. Well, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Just ridiculous. Because you're going to fall down. It's like that with God. I mean, you're out there trying to follow God and hear his Spirit and do some things. I mean, God may drop something on your heart for somebody else. You know? And, you know, we need to maybe do that. Now, sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes God will drop something on your heart, not to tell, but to pray. And you got to learn the difference between the two. You know what I mean? There's a difference sometimes. You know, just because God told you something doesn't mean you have to go blab it. You know what I mean? Sometimes God tells you something just so you can pray for that person. You know, you may not want to go up and talk to them or confront them with it. May not be the time, but you know, sometimes you got to pray first before you can get into the conversation. Have we learned that? I mean, how many's learned? I've learned that the hard way. You know, maybe I just went off and did it and didn't season it with prayer and it just didn't go the way it was supposed to. But see, I'm learning. You know, I just repent and go on. You know, dust myself off and, you know, get on with getting on. Following God, that's what we need to be. And see, so being like a little child, you know, you're going to fall down, you're going to do things, but you know, you just got to keep getting up. And see, it takes a little difference. This is one of my main themes in my life. I try to encourage people that to understand the fact that, you know, God operates by a different system than we do. The things of God operate differently than the things of man. And we have to remember that. And so there's that transition, you know, understanding, you know, what it means, the system of faith. You know, like I always say, you know, you need faith to make a transaction in the kingdom of God. Now, granted, sometimes when you're a little baby, there's mercy out there. You know, you've went way beyond grace and you're in the need of mercy, right? Have anybody been there? I think we all have. But see, there comes a time when God wants us to grow up and understand. Now, when you travel overseas, you can get by with dollars a lot of places. You know, if you have dollars, they want dollars. But let's say you bring back some Italian lira to the United States and you go up to Casey's and you say, I want my pizza, you know, and you lay down that Italian money and they're going to say, no, we don't accept that here. It's not legal tender. And it's like that with God. We try to appropriate things in the kingdom of God. We try to learn. And, you know, but unless we come with faith, it's not legal tender. You can't use it. You can beg, you can plead, you can cry, whatever it takes, but it's going to take faith. Faith in the things of God and learning how God does things. And it takes a little bit of time to learn how to trust God. Because I don't know about you, but God's invisible. I mean, maybe you've had a dream or a vision. You know, I've had a couple of those in my life. But for the most part, I'm just following somebody that I can't see. The Bible says to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. So we've got to develop that ability to be able to follow somebody that we can't see, being led by the Word of God, but also by the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, that little unction, that little small voice, that little tug, you know, that God gives to us. And this is what David had developed, because the problem, there's a learning curve, and the problem lies when we try to do God things using man's ways. It doesn't work that way. You know, an example of that is that if you're trying to transition your life over in to the things of God and you're wanting to trust God for your, you know, possessions and starting to walk in that benefit or that blessing. Well, if you're operating, see, in the world system, there's the fear of lack, okay? Fear of lack. That's why so many people are so greedy in their life. They're afraid of lack in their life. And so they don't trust, you know? And so they try to hoard and keep all the things that they can get and just not share at all. And that's because of fear of lack. And see, that's what we're ingrained with in this world system. And so if you come into God's system and you're asking God to continually bless you, give you stuff, God's not going to bless a reservoir. God's going to bless a river. Amen? You understand the difference. You know, a reservoir just keeps getting. Now, every now and then, they got to let some out or it's going to go over the top of the dam. But, you know, we need to see the fact of how this really works is the fact that we want to be a river with God. We want to be something that God wants to flow through, not just flow to. And it takes a little bit of time to learn that. See, when we just want to be blessed to keep it all to ourselves, see, that's the world system. You know, another thing in the world system, I didn't have this jotted down, but, you know, usually in the world system, how you get to the top is you walk on people, right? You climb on people, and then you use them, and that makes you try to get to a better place. But, you know, God's system's totally different. God says, you know, you want to bless others. You don't want to put them down. But see, when we come into God's, we got to transition over into these thinking because, it can't be the fact that we want to walk in lack. So the Bible says here in this passage, it says we're blessed if we take refuge in God. Take refuge. Now, what's that talking about? You know, you want to take your safety. See, here's two goals you should have in life. Number one goal is start to walk in blessing. You know, that means no matter what we have, we're blessed. And you start to walk in that blessing. And then goal number two is to start being a blessing to others. And see, number two will have an effect on number one. Because if we start blessing others, then we start to be more blessed. And then we start blessing more others. You know what I'm saying? And it just gets into the flow. And but see, that's kingdom principles, see? The world system says it doesn't work that way. You know, the world does it different. So we need to decide if we want to walk in that blessing. See, we're blessed to be a blessing. See, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. Now, you show that to a sinner, and they'll think you're an idiot, won't they? If you go up to somebody who's not saved, not born again, and you go up to that person and you just say, hey, guess what? It's more blessed to give than receive. I mean, they're going to look at you like you're stupid. They are, because they don't get it. They don't understand it. But we do, as a Christian.
Amen.
Now, think about this for a minute. How many like it if somebody walked up to you and they handed you a $100 bill? I know Charlie would, yeah. Anybody else? But wouldn't that feel kind of good? A $100 bill. Man, that feels kind of good. Hey, they just gave me $100. Now I want you to think, how much better would it feel if you had the faith to take that $100 and give it to somebody else?
Amen.
Which one do you think feels better? I guarantee you, it's the one when you feel trusting enough to God or blessed enough from God where you can be the giver and not the taker, you're in the kingdom of God. Amen? That's just how it works. I mean, that's why it's a great feeling when we've been liberated and we're not afraid anymore. We're not afraid because we know the source, and the source will give us our supply. When we get into that, I know you still... Now, don't get me wrong. Don't quit your job. You know, that's not what I'm saying here. You still work your job. You still do things, but you transition over into a different way of thinking like David did here because he had responsibilities. He couldn't look at things in the natural. He had to look to the supernatural. He had to get himself in a position or a place in his life where that he can start to tend to others and start putting their needs above his own. And see, we all need to get to there. Now, refuge, as we all know, is a shelter. Or a danger from shelter from danger or anxiety. There's danger out there, right? There's danger we need to be aware of. Things that's going on in the world, you know, that we need to be careful about. You know, there's certain places you may not go after dark, you know, just because it's dangerous. And we need to take our refuge in God. That'll be our safe place. But I want us to talk about, you know, something else other than just actual danger is anxiety. Now, think about anxiety for a minute. Some people struggle with that, I know. Every now and then it comes against you. Maybe, you know, have you ever tried to lay down at night and all of a sudden some negative thought, you know, came into your mind? And believe me, when these happen, 99.999%, it'll never come to happen. It'll never come to pass. Never happen. But you lay there and you think about it. And you think it's going to happen. See, anxiety is something that primarily exists in our mind. And see, it tries to control us. It's not real usually. I mean, it's not a real problem. It's just something in there that the devil or something tries to put into our mind so that we get to worrying about it. Now, I guarantee you put that down, you lop off its head. And see, we just got to learn that technique of how to overcome those things. And, you know, once we start to look at it and say, yeah, you know, this is really a lie. You know, it's not true. So then you start to shed some of that load. in your mind, you know what I mean? And you start to get rid of those things. And see, that's what we need to do, because David said you can take refuge in God, because these things may not be real, but they're real to us, and we need to deal with them like just like it's reality and put those things down and not let them come to pass in our life. Another thing I wanted to share in this passage is the idea that we need to give God some time to work. Now, this is a hard part for us, for most people. How many enjoy patience? You know what I'm saying? I'm tapping my foot right now because I'm in a hurry. You know what I'm saying? You know, I get the tap in my foot. See, we need to be patient and let God do His thing. You know what I mean? Give God some time. See, we need to be patient because in the book of Genesis, God revealed Himself to Abraham as a smoking oven and not a microwave. You know what I mean? In Genesis 15. See, when He's cutting covenant with Abraham, He was Abram, He's going to be Abraham. But, you know, we live in a microwave society, and that's great. I like fast food. You know, I'm in a hurry sometimes, well, most of the time. But, you know, when it comes to God and operating in His system, there's seed time and harvest. You know what that is, right? You plant your seed, then you let it grow, and then later on you harvest. It's not fast all the time, you know. And so we need to be aware of that. That sometimes when we get into the things of God, we start to sow, and then we just got to be patient. Now, you don't stop sowing if you learn the right way. If you keep sowing, you'll continually harvest in your life. You know what I mean? So we keep sowing. And so we got to learn how to do that, learn to trust God that He's going to bring the increase to it. Amen? We sow the seed, God brings the increase, and then what we have left over is two things. We have fruit and we have seed. We have fruit to eat and we have more seed to sow. And that's how it works. And we need to understand, you know, get into that way of doing things. And the world system, you know, they say, you know, don't share, don't put up for later, or, you know, save everything you have, you know, don't throw nothing away, you know, stuff like that, you know. That's why God created garage sales, I guess. I don't know, just to kind of get rid of some of that stuff we keep. But anyway. All right, now we're going to hop into the next. That was just the introduction part. We're going to hop into how to walk in blessing, okay? These are some things that David had learned along the way. Amen? How many know we need to start learning things along the way? See, we're in a journey, right? We're all in a journey. We're on a trip. We're taking a trip. You know, and that trip started, you know, for us in reality when we got born again. And we're going to be taking that trip until we either die to go be with Jesus or Jesus comes to get us. Either way. So we're on that trip, and so we need to learn some things along the way. Some people think they know it all. Have you ever had that? You know, some Christians, you think they know everything. You know, so they don't need to go to any Bible studies, bless God. They know everything. They don't need to go to a prayer meeting because they already pray up, baby. They don't need nothing. And see, those people are in a desperate situation. You know, desperate. Because that's a bad place to be is when you think you have everything covered. See, that's when the devil comes in and he steals your stuff. And that's a sad thing. Okay, so Psalms 34, 9 and 10, it says, O fear the Lord, you His saints. You're a saint. You know that, don't you? You're a holy one. That's how God sees you. When you're born again, you become a holy one. Okay. So, O fear the Lord, you saints. For to those who fear Him, there is no want. The lions, the young lions, do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Okay. Kind of weird little story there, ain't it? You know, about walking in the fear of God. Now, some people might be afraid of God. And, you know, He's bigger than us, and He's, you know, He's better than us, and He's badder than us if He wants to be. But primarily, fear is talking about honor and reverence, as we all know. You know, it's kind of like when you come into somebody who's a lot higher up the food chain than you, we show them a little respect, don't we? And see, God gets 100% of our respect. 100%. See, we're not afraid of God, but we're totally 100% respect and honor Him. And how we honor God is being obedient to His will, His revealed will. So how do you get God's will? You know, you read the Word of God. Find out what God says. Find out what the Bible says. Then we start to do that. You know, Bible says it's better to be a doer of the word than just a hearer only. You know what I mean? We've got to be a doer. That means when we see something in Scripture that's revealed to us, we need to implement that into our life or into our game plan. But what happens sometimes, we don't do that. So we honor him by being obedient. See, here's what happens. And I've always used this illustration, like, you know, when I go to the grocery store, I don't go very often because Denise likes to shop and I don't. So we all have our lane. You know what I'm saying? But when I go, there's certain aisles I never go down because I know there's nothing there that I want. And see, that's what some people do when it comes to God's word. They'll just pick portions, pieces, or half-truths in God's word. And because that's all they want to hear. They don't want to hear correction. And what happens is the fact that unbalanced teaching can get you into unbalanced thinking. And when we get our unbalanced thinking, you can't think right. That means you can't operate right. That means things aren't going to work for you in the kingdom of God because we're out of whack, you know, when we get overbalanced on some things. You know, have you ever seen somebody that's so into health and fitness that that's all they do? And they almost chase everybody away because they're trying to always say, hey, you can't eat that, you shouldn't eat that, you shouldn't do this, you need to do that. Well, they're out of balance. They're only thinking about one thing. And see, that's when we get into trouble. See, what happens in this is some teach that God is holy and he's unapproachable. God is holy. And if you approach him without the blood of Jesus, not good. Know what I mean? Well, then some other teach that God is nice and that we can get away with anything. That's the grace teaching, greasy grace teaching, where you don't have to take accountability for yourself. You know, it's just all God's grace and all God's will. You know, both of those are right, but both of those are very wrong. You got to have balance in there. Yes, God is nice, but, you know, God does not tolerate sin. So there's that side of God. God is love, but yet he can get angry at sin also. So we got to have a balance in our thinking, our approach to God, on how we want to interact with this with the divine being that created the heavens and the earth. And primarily, you know, how we did it is we need to walk in balance. I know God's a holy God, but I am also confident in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when I live my life, I don't want to grieve God. I know I will make mistakes. I know I will say something wrong and I'll hurt people that God does not want me to hurt. I don't mean to, but it's going to happen. So I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that helps me. I just can't sweep it under the table. You know, if we do something wrong or say something wrong, we need to go and apologize, don't we? Amen. I mean, that's being a man or a woman about it. Amen. You know, we need to go there and we need to do that. And see, we should want to please God, not because we're afraid of repercussions, but because we love him, we want to honor him. You know, that's why I want to serve God. I'll be honest, I haven't been afraid of God for a long time. I used to be afraid of him. When I was younger, before I knew him, yeah, I was afraid. Because I knew I wasn't living right, and I knew that a lot of people told me, I'm going to hell. I just knew that. That's not a good place to be. I don't care what AC/DC says. You know what I'm saying? You know, it might be a nifty little song, Highway to Hell, but I'll tell you what, don't go there if you don't have to. I mean, that's an eternal thing. That's not good. I thank God for being set free. But here, what he actually says here is that you won't be in want. That means you won't be lacking. Now, if you're a greedy person by nature and you got to have a lot of things, this might be a hard transition for you because it might take a little more time for God to straighten you out in your thinking and find out what's really important. See, but anyway, you know, and we need to learn how to walk in the provision side of the covenant that we had to have with God. We need to learn how to walk in that. It takes a little time to understand how God does things. You know, the seed time and harvest principle. You know what I'm saying, that we talked about earlier. You know, how to get into that, okay? Now, it talks here about young lions. Now, I enjoy watching shows like that where lions are out hunting. You know, sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't, you know? But here it talks about the young lions. You know, they're hungry. Now, what I've gathered by these nature shows is that young lions need to learn how to hunt. even though they're an apex predator, you know what I mean? They're top of the food chain. Even that young little lion's top of the food chain. But unless he learns how to hunt, he will starve to death. He will die. Because they have to eat X amount of pounds, you know, every few days. And then they start to deteriorate, muscle mass and all that. But see, we want to understand that if the young lion, so that's why they try to learn from people, their mothers or maybe their fathers or older lions in the what do they call them? A herd? Not a herd. A pride, yeah, a pride. And they learn from them, and then they can start to hunt. And see, it's like us, that for us in the things of God. You know, we have to learn how to walk in the things of God. You know, just because we're a Christian doesn't mean that we're going to walk in blessing. I guarantee that. I've watched a lot of Christians walk in cursing. Not bad words either. The fact just everything goes wrong all the time. They haven't learned how that God does things. The law of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. They haven't learned how to do that. Now, I believe there's the mercy side of God, and I'm just going to, I've kind of grazed on this, but I want to hit it again. You know, when we walk with God, you know, with God there's grace and mercy. To me, grace is God's power coming into our life, and he gives us grace to be able to function and flow and do the things of God. Well, let's say we don't know how to do that, so then there's mercy. Mercy is when we just can't help ourselves. We're just nothing. Got nothing. You know, so that's walking in mercy. But I will say this, everything I've seen in Scripture, not 100%, but most everything I've seen, and I'd almost go to 100%, unless it's mercy, God doing something, the only way that blessing comes is by sowing. Somebody had to sow something to get something. You know, you had to do something to get something. And see, you know, the young lions, you know, a lot of us are young Christians sometimes, and we get in there and we see how other people are blessed, you know, and, you know, I always tell this joke, you know, it's so sad, but it was true. You know, when I first started out being a Christian, I was just learning. I prayed for, have you ever prayed for money? Ever before? All I got was overtime. You know what I'm saying? You know, God provided, but I had to do it. You know, it didn't come in the mailbox. You know, all those guys saying, I got this in the mailbox, got that in the mailbox. All I got was bills, man. So I prayed for finances, and I got overtime. Well, you know what I did? I went to work. Amen. I went to work. You know, however God wants to do it, I'm willing. I'm part of it. So as we seek the Lord, you know, we won't be in want of anything and going on, just full focus on the things of God. Okay, now let's look at the next passage, verse 11 to 14. It says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I mean, that's kind of a mouthful right there. But I'm going to pick up the pace here a little bit. Better get a little swig of water so I can. Amen. Come as a child. We need to be teachable. We need to, you know, when we think we know it all is when we know the least, okay? That's when we got to be, make sure that we don't do it. We need to, you know, we need to have fathers and mothers in the faith. You know, and that's what's good about maybe Wednesday night Bible study here. People are all sitting in there. You got some younger Christians, you got some older Christians, and though the younger Christians can say some things very profound that helps the older, but you know, primarily you got some people that are more seasoned in the things of God, and they're in there and they're discipling, they're helping other people. And see, that's what we need. We all need fathers and mothers in the faith. You know, there's people that's farther along than us in some things. That's fine. We can still get there. We can say, oh, they're smarter than me. I didn't know nothing. Or you can say, hey, what do you know? I want to know it. I want it for me. Yes. You know, I want what you have. And see, that's being humble. You know, that's going for help. And see, God will bless that. See, some people are too proud to go for help. Talks about a good life and a long life, you know. And that comes by controlling our mouth. You know, it's important that we don't say some things. See, we need to stop speaking evil into existence. Because sometimes we do that. You know, I just almost shake my head. I've heard it so many times. people that come up and say, well, I just say what I feel. It's all I can do to say, that's stupid. You know, it's all I can do to keep my mouth shut. I mean, you can't just say what you feel, because you don't feel right all the time, right? So what happens if we do that? We start speaking this doubt, we start speaking unbelief, we start speaking death into our situations, then we wonder why it ain't working. Why ain't the things of God working in my life? Well, carry a tape recorder around for a day and then listen to it and you'll find your answer. You know, we've got to stop speaking those. See, our words can be a creative force, and, you know, the words we speak can determine the life that we'll live in. You know, if you follow a negative person around and you see things just falling apart, and what happens is that once they continually start to speak that death and that stuff into their life, and then bad things start to happen, and then they start speaking more death, it's just like being on a merry-go-round. They can't get off. And believe me, it's not so merry, is it, when those things are happening in our life, when things aren't going the way they're supposed to be, and we're just, you know, having bad things. And then it also says, you know, don't be a liar. Everybody knows that one, right? You know, so don't be a liar. You know, we need to just depart from evil and walk away. You know, do good and don't repay evil. You know, there's scripture, you know, I shouldn't really say this, but because we shouldn't want to do this, but if you want to mess with an evil person's mind, just be nice to them. The Bible says it's like heaping burning coals on their head. You know what I mean? Never repay pay evil for evil. You know, try to repay evil with kindness, you know. Ask God to give you the grace to do it. It's possible, you know. It may not be probable all the time, but it is possible. Amen? You know, we do that. Okay, the last passage I want to look at is 34, verse 15 and 17. And it says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their trouble. I guess that's not the last one. I got one more. But see, the Lord has his eye on us. We need to remember that. David knew that. God had his eye on him. God had a plan for David's life. God revealed some of that. See, you may already know some things that God's put inside your heart. You know what I mean? Some of that vision. It maybe have never come to pass yet, but it's inside of you. See, God's got his eye on you. And what we need to remember here, that his ears are open to the cry. See, remember the children of Israel? They were taken slaves after a while. They didn't start out that way, but they intimidated Egypt because they were blessed so much. Blessed is like crazy, you know? And so they put them in slavery. Well, they took it for a while until finally they'd had enough. Have you had enough yet? Have you had enough? It says when they cried out to God. See, God might be watching us down here floundering and fluttering in our hard life sometimes. He's just waiting for us to cry out. Amen. And when they cried out, God showed up.
Thank you.
Amen. But we just got to be tired of it.
Thank you, Father.
We got to be fed up being a slave. We got to be fed up with the things that's going on in our life that ain't supposed to be. And we do cry out to God and we want change. See, the Bible says here that, you know, Lord is against evildoers, and let the Lord, you know, bring judgment, not us, because he's our deliverer. Okay, last passage, I promise. Psalms 34:18. And this is something that we need every now and then. You know what I'm saying? It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saved those who are crushed in spirit. Now, hurt happens, doesn't it? We live in a world that is sometimes not very nice, especially to Christians, because we're followers of God, of the true covenant. You know, with the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sometimes, you know, the Bible says the Lord is near the brokenhearted. Maybe you feel that way today, or somebody listening to me today is feeling that way. See, brokenhearted is talking about broken into pieces. And every now and then, sometimes things happen in our life that we feel broken. We feel hurt. And despair can set in. maybe a bad marriage, maybe a bad job, bad relationship, whatever it is. Those things can come into our life, and they're very painful. And how do we deal with those things? Because life can get really rough. Well, to me, God made us, so God's the only one that can fix us. So we need to go to Him. He's the only one who knows how. Because I think every one of us here has probably been hurt or disappointed by someone. And to me, when it comes to emotional pain, we need to let go and let God. Simple as that. Let go and let God. Because we're not going to fix ourselves. There's nothing. You know, some people try to self-medicate. They drink it. They snort it. They take a pill. They go off and, you know, chase after lust or sex or things like that. All these things. They try to take that pain away, but it's not going to leave people. There's only one way, and that's to give it to God. Amen. Let God take that pain. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross for you and I, not to have to carry that pain. He wants to see us set free. And so we just need to let go and let God. And as we understand that God really does care and He can give us the support, both emotionally and stability that we need. And we need to do that. And then it talks about being crushed or contrite. You know, that's crushed with the sorrow of sin. You know, you and I, like I said earlier, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. God forbid, we're going to say something to somebody that we didn't maybe mean, hopefully didn't mean it. That's going to hurt somebody, right? It happens. And usually we hurt some people we love. Well, the Bible tells us here, all you got to do is repent. Repent, you may have to go say, I'm sorry. But more than sorry, we need to repent. Right. We need to give that sin over to God. Don't let that sin continually fester. You know, like I've always said, it's like a little splinter that gets down under the skin. And once the skin grows over it, it's not so bad. But if you touch it just the right way, it's always going to hurt again. We got to get rid of that. Get that out of our life. It only comes by repentance. See, we can learn a lot from the life of David. And when you and I get better at the things of God, to me, the body of Christ gets better. That's what it's all about. We're an army. Amen. We're a family, but we're an army too. We want to go and set the captives free. We want to do the things of God. But to do that, we need to get better in our own life. And that just comes by God's grace working and us just being obedient, being a doer. Amen? Amen. And that's what it's all about. And I hope this, you know, encourage you and think about the life of David. Try, when you read a Bible story, try to think about yourself in that situation. It helps to really bring it a little deeper home. Amen? Let's pray.